Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we have the one and only Shannon Briggs on the podcast. Y'all. How you feeling, man?
I'm chilling, brother. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Good to meet you and all that.
Very nice to have you in here.
Thank you, champ.
What has been going on in your life since the Logan Paul fight? Maybe we could just start there in terms of just diving right into what's been going on.
Back to business, man. You know, I'm an entrepreneur, you know what I mean? So I'm back to business, but, you know, family man, taking care of the family, and right back to work. I have a phenomenal partner, mentor, and manager in Scott Hirsch.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Scott Hirsch, and he's, you know, been a mentor in my life for many years, in and out of the ring. So we back to work, you know what I mean? Building
okay.
a company, building our digital marketing company, working on our projects, living life, man. Still going to the beach, still having fun.
Going to the beach is important.
Yeah, very important for me, you know what I mean? My whole mentality, you know what I'm saying, suffering from PTSD. And, you know what I mean? It's just good for me to just go to that ocean and let my problems go away with the tide. You feel me?
I hear that for sure. I mean, it must have been a weird couple of, I don't know, months or even a year or so of you really getting involved in the YouTuber world. Like, this is probably something that you never would have thought of. And then all of a sudden you found yourself mixed up in this whole crazy world. Was it was that a strange detour in your life?
No, it wasn't really strange because I had a connection to it because early in the career of the guys, my very close friend, Paolo Moreno, who worked with the kids early in their life, he was working with them. He had, you know, so I had kind of knew about everything that they were doing over the years. And then when the opportunity came to train them and they got in the boxing, I sent the guy that had worked with me in my life. So I sent him out there because I was kind of busy at the time. And and this time around, years later, when the rematch came about and they asked me to come, I had the time. I said it'd be great to, again, delve into the fan base, and it was a great experience for me.
But what was it like training somebody who is a non-boxing pro? Like, how did that compare? Because normally you're used to dealing with people who realistically are not that famous, like in terms of younger fighters.
Right.
They're not that famous, but they're extremely talented fighters.
Right.
This is kind of an opposite scenario where they're mega famous and maybe of questionable fighting talent.
Nah, he can fight.
Logan can fight.
Yeah, he can fight.
Logan can definitely fight, yeah. But, you know, he's known first as a YouTuber.
Facts. Nah, it was cool. You know, he's got a level head on his shoulder. He's a good kid, man. You know, I haven't dealt with what he dealt with his career ups and downs as far as with the, you know, Japan thing.
Yeah.
He bounced back, and I think he's doing a great job. I mean, he's a young brother, man, who went through a lot with that scenario. But he's self-made, you feel me, from where he's come from. So I think he's doing great.
Well, that's cool. Did you, after that fight, though, did you kind of consider that to be the cutoff point in terms of where you were planning on going with coaching YouTubers?
Not really. I mean, I've actually been asked and talking about, what's his name? What's my boy's name? Supreme Patty.
You're interested in training with him.
Well, you know, we talked about it. We were talking about it. You feel me? My boy Scott. He gave Mystic Zach. Shout out to Mystic Zach. I Pick Wins. They talking about actually him fighting. So, he inquired about me possibly working with him. So
how come you didn't end up training with Jake Paul?
Oh, it just wasn't meant to be. You know what I mean? He actually trained with a great trainer in Sugar Ray.
Right.
Shane.
Yeah.
I was just hanging out with Mike Tyson for 2 hours.
Okay.
But he's actually training with Sugar Shane. He's a phenomenal coach. And, you know, guys like them, I think it's great that they train with different guys, to be honest with you. So they get to learn things because they don't have a long history of this. So, you know what, train with different guys. But I'm happy for those guys. I think Jake's going to do great. I think it's tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
Coming up soon, not even. But he's coming up
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday, something like that.
So I was supposed to go out there, but at the last minute, we couldn't do it. Right. I actually have his robes in my office that they dropped off here.
Yeah. I'll be there. That's my hometown.
Oh, you are going?
I live in Miami. That's what I'm at, you know?
Oh, okay.
So I'll be there. I'll be there, the whole crew.
I got to do a quick detour here. What was the give me a sneak peek of how the Mike Tyson podcast was, because that's pretty amazing. You guys, is this the first time that you guys have ever had a long-term form conversation? On camera?
Yes, brother. Yes, wow. Brother. It was crazy. It was one of those things that, you know, it was a life-changing moment for me as well, because we suffer from a lot of the same things. We from the same neighborhood.
Right.
Brownsville, Brooklyn. We experienced a lot of similarities in life as far as with our mom, and you know what I mean, growing up in the village is just a different place. So like when you're in relation to, like you talk about with the YouTube things, I'm from a different place, you feel
exactly
me?
Like, now all of a sudden you're in Calabasas, you're training people that ain't had to deal with a lot of the stuff
I deal with real shit. I've been through, pardon my language, but I've been through real stuff in life. So like that's just a part of my life. Well, it's cool, you know. It's amazing because I love it, because I'm all around the world. You know, the Let's Go Champ mantra had taken off, and it's a living thing. It's something that has helped me, and I get, because a lot of people around the world tell me, hey, yo, champ, we love you, man. You help me. Non-boxing fans, champ, you feel me?
Right.
Guys who never watch boxing, females who never watch boxing, but they say they watch my videos and they're inspired, and they see they get encouraged to not give up, you know? So, you know, going through, when I got into the thing with, you know, with Logan and all that, I got introduced to a whole new fan base of kids who never heard of Shannon Briggs, you know what I'm saying? So that was an amazing part of the aspect of it, and I'm appreciative, and it's time to, you know, I support those guys, but it's time to keep it moving. Maybe Supreme Patty might have it. Who knows? Let's go, champ.
Have you taken a look at Supreme Patty as a fighter?
We're going to talk. We're going to see.
You haven't reviewed the tape yet?
Nah, we're going to see.
Interesting. Maybe we can get him in there with Jake. Maybe they're sort of similar size. I think Logan might be too big for him.
Yeah.
I mean, Jake might be too big for him, too. I don't know.
We don't know. We're going to see. I never met the brother yet, but we've talked about it. Zach's trying to put it together. He was like, yo, Patty, want to fight? And he was, you know, I live in Florida. He lives in Florida, you know what I mean? So it makes sense.
Interesting. So I actually last night went back and watched the Joe Rogan podcast that you did like about 3-4 years ago.
Yes, brother.
What has changed in your life since then? Where were you? At that time, you were still motivated to actually fight.
Yeah, I'm still fighting. Well, actually, after that, I took a little hit. I took a ban. I've been off for a couple of years, but I've been motivated, man. You know, I dabble. I go to the gym, and I spar guys that, you know, just doing their thing, young boys. And I rip them up. I do my thing, you feel me? And then I'd be like, damn, champ, you know what I mean? I'm 48 years old, but I'm in phenomenal shape, you know what I mean? And I feel as though if I put the gas to the metal, I know I could damage, I could break, you know, people up. And I do that. So it makes me say, why not? In this era, imagine, you know, it's in a phenomenal time in the world where here's the cell phone, it's the television, so more people can see you around the world and see me fight. I mean, I was born in 71. His kids who's saying Let's Go Champ around the world, who, you feel me? They was born in like, you know, 2011 and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a phenomenal time to be alive and to you know, to be able to be seen by the world. So I'll be fighting in April, to make a long story short.
So you do
Let's go, champ.
You do have a fight in the works, or at least you plan on finding
one? I'm fighting for sure. I'm fighting. I just told Mike, announced it to Mike in the world, that I will be fighting it within the next 60 to 90 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you at all worry about, you know, just doing it this much later in your life? Does it worry you at all, or are you just purely excited about it?
I just think that it's part of who I am. I wish I could say, you know, differently. Like, I'm not doing it for money. I don't need the money. I do it for the people. I do it for myself, because it gives me an opportunity to get out the house, to train, to not sit down and be depressed and think about shit that I don't want to think about. It's not supposed to be usable.
You can swear as much as you want. I encourage apologize. It. You can do drugs, you can do whatever you want. No?
I try not to curse, you know, in public, you feel me?
Right.
But it comes out sometimes.
Why is that? Just because you have so many young kids that go to the gym that you don't want to be a bad impression on them or something? Jake and them have a lot of young fans, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not only that, you know, kids hear worse, but I just always felt like it wasn't necessary. Plus, I have a little girl at home, you know what I mean? But I always felt like the word shit wasn't a curse. My grandmother used to let me say shit. So,
really?
So I always grew up thinking the shit wasn't a word.
No,
so.
Yeah, I think fuck and
oh, wait, take it easy.
Fuck is bad, yeah. Take it easy, champ. You don't mess with that too much?
Nah, just the shit. I grew up thinking that wasn't a curse. So
right.
Yeah, I used to get in trouble, but my grandmother would say, laugh, you know?
Right.
So
who else is from Brownsville? You, Mike Tyson, MOP?
Riddick Bowe.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, the great Riddick Bowe, Zab Judah, Curtis Steven, Danny Jacobs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so many phenomenal fighters. You know, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. Some young boys. What was his name? Shu? I think his name, Shu, something like that. Shu.
But primarily a lot of boxing talent.
A lot of everything. A lot of everything. Thelma from Good Times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Valoma. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Oh, man,
Sean Price.
Wow. My boy. Rest in peace to Sean Price. Rem, you feel me?
Right.
So many, man. Helter Skelter. Thurston Howell III. Shout out to Vic Lowe. He just did a thing with Ralph Lauren.
Wow.
He was a booster growing up from Brownsville, Brooklyn. He started the Low Lifes. Uh-huh. Shout out to the Low Lifes. And they went out. My boy right there, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to the Low Lifes.
Lou knows.
And they started, and I grew up with them. You feel me? I grew up with Beck Lowe and Ski, all of them from Marcus Garvey. So we all went to high school together. Montan Lowe, you feel me? All of them.
Right.
So they was boosting, and now could you believe it? Here we are. You know, I'm 48. You know, Vic my age. Here he is. You know what I'm saying, but he just did a documentary with Ralph Lauren.
Big time.
Come on, champ.
Do you go back often?
Not often enough, but I'm in the works right now. I just sat down with Mike Tyson, and we're in the works of working on. We're gonna build a gym in Brownsville, Brooklyn, called the Brownsville Boxing Academy.
Wow.
And the reason why is, let me explain this to you, champ. You have three former heavyweight champions from the same neighborhood, only about a mile and a half in size.
Mm.
This has never been heard of in the history of the world. Three heavyweight champions from a small neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson, Riddick Bowe, and Shannon Briggs.
An area without a lot of opportunity,
no
too.
No opportunity. Yeah. Not even the high school. Mm. You feel me? And I think that we've bought well over $500 million, if not $1 billion, to the industry of boxing. Let alone we don't have a gym. So that's my goal. I'm working on a film right now called Brownsville Never Ran, Never Will, which talks about the history of Brownsville and three heavyweight champions, tons of other great champions and fighters, but three heavyweight champions. And we're going to open up a gym.
That's legendary.
We're going to do it, champ.
When you were first getting into fighting, what was your perspective of Tyson, though? Was he already a big deal in your mind?
Facts. He was the legend. He was the dude making bread.
Mm.
In the 80s, and we was like, wow, because everybody was broke. You know what I mean? Everybody was poor. So he was something to look up to, like, okay. And then my friend's dad, Ryan Lindsay, he bought some gloves, and I just fell in love, you know what I mean, with the smell, and just it was just way out. It was meant to be. I told Mike, you know, we lived in the same neighborhood. He was older than me. His mom had issues. My mom had issues. He wound up moving down the hill from up the hill, which is like Beverly Hills compared to down the hills. It's still Brownsville, but it's up the hill at the time. And then we moved. It's still bad. It's still the hill. But you know, we moved down the hill, and then you know we were homeless for quite some time. And in that, living down the hill, living in the streets, like Mike, similar pattern. And then he actually went to Catskills and trained with Customato.
Mm.
I went and trained with Teddy Atlas,
right?
Who trained on the Customato,
right?
I worked with Mike Marley, who worked with Don King. It was always, you know, some connection to following my dream, which Mike was a heavyweight champion. I wanted to be something like that.
But Tyson's influence was probably so that I would assume that a huge percentage of the people that you went to school with and shit had that idea. Like if Tyson coming up out of Brownsville and making it, did that affect a lot of other people that were your age in that neighborhood, that they were all sort of dreaming of a similar future?
Nah.
You were the naturally talented one. I mean, you are shaped to be a fucking professional athlete for sure.
Nah, I was nobody really. You know, in the 80s, man, like, it was a lot of people dying. Crack had, you know, did ravage the hood, you feel me? A lot of people, so many people had died. I seen mothers, you know, fathers, grandmothers, and everybody, whole family addicted to crack, you feel me? So then it was abusive, you know? So then in the 80s, everybody fell apart, and here boxing just happened to be something that I fell into. But I wish, and had it been a gym in my neighborhood, maybe there would have been a lot more heavyweight champions out of the hood. Or forget heavyweight, just champions, because there's not even a boxing gym in the neighborhood. So that's my goal, man.
Right.
That's the goal.
So your impression of when you saw the crack epidemic taking place, you saw it just absolutely ravaging the neighborhood that you were from, but did your perspective on that say, okay, I'm going to completely ignore that side of life and just focus on my athletic pursuits, or were you drawn to that lifestyle at all?
My mom's was on crack.
Right.
So I was like, damn, you know, I remember like being angry, man, at like crack dealers and shit. Like, you know, feeling like, nah, you know, people glorify crack dealers. Like, yo, I sold crack. I did this and the third. I've never had a like for someone who glorified it because I was on the other end. You know what I mean? I seen crack ravage not only, you know, my family, but others. I seen whole families, beautiful women turn to, you know, sex machines or slaves, like almost, you know what I'm saying? And within my own family, I seen people change personalities and people laugh and joke about it. Like, I tell you, I love hip hop, but I don't listen to much rap as I used to. As, you know, of course you grow up, because it became a point where the glorifying of selling cocaine and crack and what you got from it, it was always offensive to me. You feel what I'm saying? Because I felt like you can't, we crack wiped out such a portion of black people. It would be like a war.
A whole generation.
Like people, they're not alive. You'll never see what could have been of their family. They don't exist. And guess what? We don't even think about them no more because life goes on. But it'd be an equivalent of a bomb taking out people.
Right.
And then new people just come live there. But that's what crack did. I witnessed it. And then its resurgence was the opioid epidemic just ravaging America now. So, you feel me?
Yeah.
It's crazy, but, you know.
When you go out into the world and talk about boxing, is that a big hope of yours? Is that you could help gear kids towards getting into sports as opposed to getting into all these horrible drugs and everything that are out there? Never mind violence and all the other bad options that they have. Is that something that's really important to you?
It has to be, because it's for me, I was at a point where I wanted to kill myself. You know, I wanted to commit suicide.
How long ago was that?
10 years ago, 8, 9, you know, 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I was at a down point, you know what I mean? Just had, I don't know if it was a combination of punches to the head or, you know, a combination of just so much drinking possibly. I've been drinking since I was 13, 14, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I never tried coke, I never tried heroin, but I would drink heavily and after fights, you know, after fights. But I was more so, I was a sex addict as well, you feel
really?
Me? It was the chase, the women, you know, was a big part of me. And
so you were going out to the bars and just getting into all kinds of shit every night?
I was in clubs. Ladies, man, young. I had the dreads for 27 years, you know what I mean? I was doing my thing.
When you look back on that.
I was a playboy.
Do you regret that? Do you regret that you didn't just settle down and just work your ass off to be a better fighter?
Definitely. 100%, you feel me? But I look at it like this. First of all, there's no time machine, and I'm gonna keep it real. I was just talking with Mike. That shit was happening like this. There was no plan. I wasn't like, let me take you to the gym and you be a boxer with my parents. Nah, my mom's was on crack. My pops died in prison. I went to the gym as a bet with a friend, and I wound up coming back because I had no place else to go. I wound up sleeping in the gym. And it was like, yo, you got some skills. It was calling me Ali. And I went from emulating Ali to, you know, becoming heavyweight champion of the world 2 times, you know what I mean?
So, right.
And I'm here with you.
You're here with me.
Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ. I don't know if you ever talked about this, was there a moment where you decided the Let's Go Champ was going to become your slogan, or did it just kind of become this verbal tick that just is constantly on display?
I was fat champ. I was 403 pounds. I was obese. I was drinking like a fish. I had a good job working at a marketing company in Florida. I was making some good bread. I was using the bread to basically drown myself in, just probably try to, like, you know what I'm saying, numb the pain and shit. So I was drinking, I was partying, you know what I'm saying? And I had my daughter was born. My daughter Chloe was born, and when she was born, I was like, what the fuck, bro? I was like, you're a piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like, what you gonna do?
You gotta start taking yourself much more serious at that point once the kids come around, huh?
Yeah, yeah. That and just, you know, I had swept so much under the rug all my life, you know what I mean? Because I had to be the man. You know what I mean? It's to be the man, you got to be the man. You know what I mean? I had to be the man in my life. I didn't have no brothers, no mother, no sister. My mom's loved me so much, but then she died on my birthday. Mm. And then, you know, I knew the people around me was just using me because of who I was. You get what I'm saying? Mm. I knew everybody was hanging on. When I lost, when I had my good times, people was loving me. Oh, we love you. When I had my bad times, you found out who your friends was. So throughout the ups and downs, I started, you know, looking at people, and I started getting paranoid and just feeling fucked up. And then I went to depression. Mm. And then I got to a point where I started saying, come out of this shit, champ. You feel me? And when I did that, I lost weight. I lost 168 pounds. I still got back in shape. I started feeling better, looking better. And I started saying, let's go, champ, as a slogan. Because the entourage was gone. The people around me, the fake cheerleaders was gone. So now I had to do it for myself. Mm. You know, the bread was gone. It was gone.
Damn, that's crazy. When you saw Logan take his loss, did you have those words for him to try to tell him about what was going to happen to him in terms of people maybe not being there for him, or at least people talking down on him?
Nah, you don't think.
It's not the same because his
Logan
identity.
Logan won that fight.
Still feel that way?
I mean, who ever heard of a referee taking away 2 points for okay. that? And then on top of that, he won every round. I mean, come on, let's stop. The boy was a he outboxed the boy. He won the round. But with all that being said, it was crazy because I invested so much emotionally into it because I genuinely like Logan. I think he's a really good guy. Because when you deal with boxing, you got to understand, a fighter, a human being, is at his most vulnerable place as a person because he's dealing with emotions. And in his case, he never dealt with them. So I could relate because I was so similar. I jumped into something to get off the streets, and here I was now, I'm fighting for the heavyweight title. You get what I'm saying? So I could be like, he was jumping into something huge in front of the world. So I could relate to that. So I had a lot of invested emotionally. And when he lost, it was like I lost. I felt so bad, you know what I mean? I felt so miserable because I felt like, damn. Because I talk a lot of shit. I knew he was the next Ali, the white Ali. Mm. That's how I felt, you feel me? And I still do. I think he has a lot to bring to the boxing game. If he continues to fight, he could be decent. He could be a good fighter. He could be a real good fighter.
Were you impressed by KSI's performance?
Not at all.
Really?
You know, he's a tough little bastard. He's a tough dude. He's a tough little bastard, which we knew. But I didn't think he was that tough, but he was tough. He kept gunning, trying to do it, but he was eating shots. You've seen his face after the fight. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? He's a good dude. He's a good brother. They made a lot of money. I wish them both. They should fight again, man. Mm. They should fight 15 more times.
Well, I mean, that's Jake's big goal is that he wants this fight with KSI once he claims he's about to finish off Gibb this week.
Right. Let's go, champ.
Let's go.
Let's go, champ. Do your thing. I'll be there.
You want to see that particular matchup? Do you feel like you're invested enough in the KSI matchups in general that if Jake wants to fight him, that you might get involved? Or is it over?
Nah. I'm right now I'm focused on my next fight. To be honest with you, I'm fighting. I got to fight within the next 60 to 90 days. I just passed all my medicals. Everything is done. Scott Hirsch, shout out to Scott Hirsch. And everybody's right. The team is ready. Fred Money. The whole team is ready. We're ready to embark on a nice 8-month run, which is going to entail 4 fights and really, really show the world that if I feel like George Foreman, to be honest with you, Jim. I feel like, you know, I defeated and retired George Foreman. That was his last fight. And I do feel as though I still have it at 48. You know, I just talked to Mike Tyson. I just left Mike Tyson, champ. And Mike Tyson said he would fight right now. Didn't he say that? He said he wish he could fight right now. He's 53. He look amazing.
Really?
He look amazing, champ. I think he could still do it.
Why did he say he won't fight right now? Just
because we fight dogs.
Mm. He said that he doesn't really want to see that side of his personality anymore. He wants to be a humble person.
He want to fight, but he don't want to fight.
But do you worry about that with yourself, that if you get yourself back in the ring and consistently doing fights and stuff, does that somehow make it more likely that you'll end up in a sort of depressed state or doing things that are negative for yourself like you've done in the past? Is there any correlation there?
Nah, I grew up from that. You know, I got a daughter now, 2 boys. You know what I'm saying? Beautiful wife at home who, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be alive. You know what I mean? So, as you grow, you know, your mentality changed, responsibilities changed. I'm at a better place. And it's thanks to Let's Go Chant. Mm. It's thanks to the people. It's thanks to all the people around the world. Because if I didn't have it, who knows? You know what I mean? I'm not perfect. I'm a survivor. Mm. You know what I mean? I was born less than 2 pounds at birth. I was asthmatic all my life. My moms and pops, you know what I'm saying, had problems. And here I am. I became heavyweight champ. I'm a father. I live in a beautiful home in Miami on the water. My house is on the river, like Rick Ross said.
Well, it must be crazy for you because so many of your peers are gone, not right. doing shit, just yeah. not really as productive. And you've managed to maintain your relevance.
Coming to get them. I'm coming to get all my people. We coming out of this. Yeah. Let's go, champ.
Does that feel good though to just be, you know, one of the survivors from your generations and there's knowing that there's not that many?
It doesn't feel good. It feels like every time I see a brother of mine's from the past or whatever, I'm all about encouragement. You know, that's what Let's Go Champ is about. It's like, you know, I'm no different. We all champs. You feel me? Mm. I'm no different. And I see a brother from the past and, you know, I'm always happy. I'm encouraging him. Like, what's up, champ? How you doing? You know, I'll be happy, genuinely happy for people because I'm happy to be alive, champ, to be honest with you, because my life has been a fucking roller coaster. You mean, it's been ups and downs. You know what I mean? A lot of times. I hated myself. Mm. I mean, I didn't like Shannon Briggs. You know what I mean? And I had to call myself champ because I hated Shannon Briggs. I hated the things that I had done to myself and money wasted and friends that I took in. You know, I would take in pieces of shit, people, because for whatever reason, you know, just to have people around, afraid to be alone, you feel me? And I would have an entourage of people around me, but then there wasn't shit. And then when they stabbed me in the back or they, you know, they wasn't true blue, I'd be like... And then, but it was my fault. Mm. You know, sometimes it's better to be alone than be with people and they be bad people. You feel what I'm saying?
No, totally. But it's tough because it's so hard to explain those pitfalls to people before they've actually made it to the point where they're facing it themselves. Like, if people probably tried to tell you something at that time, right? And to you, it just, you weren't accepting it. You thought that these people really were your friends?
I can genuinely say, looking back in retrospect, I had no one around me to tell me anything. I've literally been on my own, calling the shots since I've been a kid. Since I've been 13, 14 years old, I've been making my decisions. And, you know what I mean? That's why I feel as though I'm the champ. Because I'm a survivor when I didn't have people to say, yo, do this, do that. It was my, you know, I was making my choices. And I think I made some good ones. I made some wrong ones too, you feel me? But that's always been in relationship to taking on people, you feel me? Letting people around me that I shouldn't have had around me, you feel me? Like taking on people. I got a big heart. That's my biggest weakness is my heart. You know, I'm a friend. I think it's the only child syndrome. And my wife says it's the only child syndrome that because I didn't have a brother or sister, I like to give. And then when people don't reciprocate or they show me other, I'm like, damn, but she tells me all the time, you have to understand, they're not you. Mm. A lot of people didn't have love.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of love. My mother, Margie Briggs, loved me to death. You know, although she had her issues, she had two things. She battled drugs, but she loved me. Mm. She loved her boy. So she treated me. So I was a golden boy. I had everything you can imagine. Clothes. I had two of everything. Two bikes, two big wheels, two racing tracks. Why? Because in case he break one.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was her thing.
I mean, when people talk about Brownsville, they talk about it as being a really, really poor area. Yeah. But she managed to make it work.
We lived in Ocean Hill, the Atlantic Towers, and it was a nice tenement at the time. It later on went down, but it picked itself back up, and now it's a beautiful tenement in Brownsville, Ocean Hill, Brownsville. And we, you know, when we lost our home, we lived from place to place for some time. We had a place in East New York. We lived in East Flatbush. We moved around a lot, you know what I mean? Survived in the 80s, you know what I mean? But, she was a great woman, you know what I mean? But she just had, her ups and downs, and her downs was drugs, and she battled with it, and unfortunately she lost the battle. But she died young, you know, she died 54. Mm. But she gave me everything I needed to survive in this world.
Right.
She gave me the smarts. She was an intelligent person. She wasn't a dummy. She was a thinker, and she gave me that. You know, I didn't have no father. My stepdad was in and out, but she was my father. She was my teacher. More importantly, I didn't go to a good school and stuff like that, but I had her as my teacher. So that's how I'm able to, you know, be the champ and stay alive and be here with you today.
Definitely.
The champ don't stop.
Talk about what happened to Kobe the other day.
Oh, man.
Just tragic. Horrifying for you to see.
Man, I was here. I'm here, of course, and I was here when it happened. And my wife called me, and she was like, Shannon, Kobe just died. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like,
Everybody had that sort of same reaction, like, yeah, right.
Yeah. And I was in the car with my partner, Fred, and we literally were on the phone for 15 minutes on FaceTime with my wife, and we were all silent. And all I could remember saying was, like, come on, stop. Like, what are you saying? And I'm going to Twitter while she's on FaceTime, and I'm back and forth, and I'm just still, as you can see. I mean, it's just weird. It's not even, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Somebody who had such a commitment to excellence and was just somebody who took a very American sport about as far as you could possibly take it. Just sort of a incredibly terrible thing to have to witness. I mean, a lot of people are saying it's the most horrific thing that's probably happened in the history of sports in terms of a guy who's really still really young, dying in an incredibly horrific way, yeah. And given his profile and his impact.
Yeah, 100%. You know, a long time ago, before there were other sports, there was only boxing.
Mm.
Boxing was the premier sport. And I related to, like, if you're a true boxing fan, when Jack Johnson crashed his car and died.
Mm.
You know, at that time, early 1900s, he was a loved man by many, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, and he, like you said, American basketball is much bigger now, huge, and such a guy who you look at for excellence and for this to happen is tragic. But again, like such a huge figure to die, you feel me?
Yeah.
It's unreal.
How do you feel about MMA and UFC and the rise of all that?
Dope.
You think it's dope?
Dope. It helped boxing. It helped contact sport. It helped the world. Look at the money. Mm. And Dana White's a genius.
But you think that the UFC is
Bought it from the brothers.
Right.
I knew those guys from Long Island. You know what I'm saying? I knew those guys. Actually, I knew the first guys, Meyerowitz or something like that, had it first.
What were their names? The Fertittas?
I knew the other guys.
The Fajita brothers? No.
I think that was the Meyerowitz, something like that. But I knew those guys in like early 93, 94.
Mm.
They had it.
Were you always kind of fascinated by it?
Loved it from the beginning. It was crazy. I was like, yo, this is wild. You know, I fought K-1.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I fought in Japan. I fought in K-1. So that was an experience for me as well.
But you don't think that the UFC makes boxing look a little boring to certain parts of America?
Totally not. I mean, it's totally different fans.
Right.
You know what I mean, it's like basketball and golf. Mm. Totally two different fans.
Right.
That's all. It's two different fans.
What was that boxing promoter, though, who went on TV and he was talking about fucking the UFC fighters? He's like, they all wear tattoos. Remember that? No?
Nah, I don't remember.
You don't remember that? He said they all wear tattoos, and that was like his way of insulting them.
Nah, MMA is a totally different sport, which mixes boxing. Martial arts is a different type of martial arts. It's like kickboxing. Mm. It's like Muay Thai. You're going to say Muay Thai is better than boxing, or boxing is better than Muay Thai. You tell a Muay Thai fan that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come on, champ. A sumo wrestler. Tell a sumo wrestler that boxing is better. They look at you like you're stupid.
You don't think Logan Paul would potentially do better in the UFC?
I think
an MMA fight?
I think he'd do good.
You think he'd do all right?
He's strong. Boy's strong.
Right. I'd like to see him on the ground. I'd like to see what Logan Paul delivering some fucking brutal ground and pound. That's a visual that I need in my mind.
That'd be dope.
Yeah. Do you think that the overall, like, YouTuber, you know, influencer fight world is something that we're going to keep seeing grow over the course of the next couple of years? Or do you think that the KSI Logan one might have been the height of this?
I'm very curious to see the next YouTuber stars that are physical enough to fight. I am very serious. I'm very curious to see who that's going to be.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, really what you would think would be great is if somebody's already pursuing boxing, or if they already were an amateur boxer, then they could go and become a YouTuber and sort of build up that side of their personality, and that way they would be able to really dominate.
It's not going to happen.
You don't think it's going to happen?
It's not going to happen.
Why is that?
Too much concentration is going to take to be a real fighter. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Full-time fighter, it's a life, man, that, you know what I mean? Like I told you, man, I just left Mike. We from a different place, a different era. A real fighter going to have to get down and dirty, but he's going to have to come from a dark place.
Right.
He had to come from a dark place because he's going to have to know that. Like, you look at, like, so many fighters, man, Fury, you know, his issues and his problems that he's overcome. You look at Wilder, you know what I mean? He has a single parent, not sure the single parent at the time, but I know he's working for his daughter, from what I hear, a handicapped daughter, hungry. You're savage, you're a hungry man. So a fighter got to dig down, my point. A fighter got to go where you got to have had some issues to dig down and want this shit, because it take a lot.
No, that doesn't bode well for the Paul brothers then, because, I mean, they already got all the money, they got all the fame, they got all the women. So what's really motivating them to go the extra mile in the gym and then really go crazy in the ring? Like, doesn't that kind of not look like a good sign for them if everybody sort of has to have come from some sort of turmoil?
Keeping it. Got to keep that shit. You feel me?
But do we believe that they've gone through? I mean, I guess you could look at the Suicide Forest type thing that Logan went through.
Fame is funny because you could be famous today, and then you know tomorrow everybody hates you. So you got to get that. You got to keep it going. You feel me? Like Logan, I heard Logan speak on that, and that was dope. I was like, damn. I heard him speak on how it was overwhelming to have to come up with content every day. Mm. I heard him speak on that when he was doing one of his interviews, and I was listening, and I was like, damn. I never looked at it like that, but I was doing the same thing. I'm 40-something years old. I'm 48 now, but when I started my Instagram and YouTube mission, I was 40. Mm. And I was just trying to build my shit up. And I got 300,000+, you know, it's nothing. But I'm 48 years old, and the kids ain't supposed to know who I am, you know what I'm saying? So for me, it's dope, you know what I mean? But, you know, life is funny, man. Life is some strange shit. I think that these guys will continue fighting and do great. You know what I mean? They'll do great. But they in the right league with the right people, man.
Right.
They're in the right league with the right people.
I wonder if there's any other sports that would potentially make sense for people to start competing in against each other. I don't know. I would
YouTube
love to see.
YouTube is so fucking big, man. Yeah. Excuse my language. You can't curse on YouTube.
No, you can definitely. You can curse on here.
I so
it's
apologize.
All good. Yeah.
But I don't like the curse, champ. But it's so big. I'm addicted, man. I get on YouTube and I'm on there for 9, 10, 12 hours straight.
Really?
Yeah. I'm watching stuff about ancient civilizations I'm watching stuff about, you know what I mean? The cosmos. I'm sick.
Did you actually watch a lot of like Logan Paul's content to just sort of see what world he was coming from before you started working with him hardcore?
No.
You haven't watched a lot of it?
Prior?
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up, you know, I know the kids because Paolo and my boy Jeff, man. Shout out to Jeff and Paolo, the team, you know what I mean?
Right.
Listen, I those guys are phenomenal dudes, man. I think Logan's going to do great whatever he's doing. Jake's going to look great tomorrow night. He's going to smash this kid. And they're going to continue to have their life and continue to, you know, doing their thing. And I'm going to continue to do my thing. Unfortunately, you know, we go in a different direction. Not unfortunately, pardon me. Mm. We go in a different directions. You know, I have no static with those kids. I love them.
Because when I said on Twitter that I was going to interview you, Jake actually responded and said, oh, no.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's an oh, no, as an oh, no, what is he going to say about me? Yeah. Or is it an oh, no, sarcastically, like, oh, no, like, what is he going
to,
you know?
Nah,
like,
I think Jake had said, you know, prior to the fight, after the fight, he had said something to like, oh, it's my fault. He was drunk.
Right.
He was drinking after the fight. He was drunk in the locker room. And he was like, oh, it's my fault because I was not pushing Logan to, you know, in sparring, knock out the sparring partners. And I was like, you know, relax, champ. You know, it's not how it is.
I mean, Jake also just said that he was better and trained harder than, like, professional boxers.
Yeah, he said. So when he said the part about, you know, me, I was. It's, my thing is, I've been there. You lose a fight, you're in the dressing room. It's a down point. You don't need that. You don't. It's not what you want to hear, that you're a loser, that you lost, and it's you blaming you. You want support. So when he started going that route, and he started saying like, "Oh, you was helping, but you wasn't." You know, pushing my brother, pushing him. I was like, yo, relax, champ. You know what I mean? And his brother sat next to me, and he was like, please, you know, like, excuse my brother. He's drunk. You know, he's drinking. And I understood. And I don't see him as an emotional point. You know what I'm saying? I'm a different type of animal. You know what I'm saying? I'm from a different place. So I ain't going to be into back and forth on the internet with all that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not that type of person. I would never want it to be something where, because I feel as though, like, the kid, the trainer, KSI, he was trying to use me as bait to keep it going. Like the whole I'm beefing with this old guy and Shannon Briggs is not relevant. It was just coming kiddie. And I was like, you know, champ, I feel y'all kids and all that, but I'm a different type of animal. I just want to be respected and left in a place where I don't have to, you know what I'm saying, chastise or say something to kids. Because when he said that to me in the lesson, I felt offended. I felt like he was like, oh, you know, you, yeah, yes, man, telling my brother. I was like, yo, champ, don't ever talk to me like that, because I felt that's a disrespect. As a black man, don't say no shit like that to me. But I took it on the chin because it was an emotional moment for his brother. You feel me? And I don't want to ever be pulled into a shout or match or argument with kids or anyone of that matter, because it would be all downhill for me. It's not a winning situation. It's just a situation that I can't win. It's the internet versus, you know what I'm saying?
And it's just you're coming from such a different world.
Facts.
Because to you, someone says something disrespectful to you. Facts. In your head, you want to handle it a certain way. A lot of times with the YouTuber people and everything, they're making videos exposing each other. They're saying all kinds of crazy shit about each other. And it's all marketing. And it's all a lot of boxers get used to doing actually the thing that YouTubers do in the lead up to a fight, where you sort of fake and hype up this animosity between each other. That's just a YouTuber's daily routine, right?
Right. Exactly. And that's why, you know, okay, look, guys, I took it on the chin that one, you know what I mean? Let's go, champ, guys. All right, and that was the end of it. But I love what Logan did that night. I love what he's a good kid. I really, got to see him, and I was like, wow, he's impressive. You know what I mean? So with that being said, man, I'm just focused on hopefully staying away from any YouTube garb and all that, man, because I got a family. I love my kids. My kids see shit, and they be like, oh, dad, this and that third. So that was far. It was hard for me. I had to bite my lip that, like, because, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to, like, I mean,
so you're perfectly down with the training part, but then when it comes to dealing with the bullshit and everybody talking crazy about you and stuff, that's the stuff that you don't really enjoy as much?
That's the difference between pro boxing and, you know what I'm saying, like, and other shit. Like, I don't fucking play, champ. Word is bond. Like, that's what it is, bro. I don't play games. So we're going to leave it at that. You feel me?
Definitely.
Yeah, let's go, champ.
So how do you feel about the memes? How do you feel about...
Let's go, champ.
There's a lot of good memes.
Yeah, I'm a meme king. You see my memes?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go, champ. I'm the meme king. Yeah.
Your Instagram's got a lot of nice handiwork on there.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. So it's coming from you, because you're the man when it comes to...
I'm meme champ, I guess.
You are.
What do you think about me? You think I should get in the ring?
Man, this actually... When I seen you now in person for the first time, you a big ass motherfucker.
See,
bro.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I lost 40 pounds over the course of the last 6 months or so. I've been working so hard to just lose weight and get in shape, and it's kind of like, damn, like, should I do something with it?
I really think, what's that dude named, the big football player, Gronk? What's his name?
Gronk.
Gronk. You should fight Gronk.
If he's a football player, I'm going to assume that he's probably got a leg up on me.
Nah. Well, we can find somebody. Let me see your arms. How long are your arms? Oh, wait a minute. You got a little something. You might have, let me see, make a fist. Oh, shit. Wait a minute, champ. Wait a minute. You might have some.
You think,
bro,
I got it? That's how you test it out? Bro, I feel like I got kind of brittle, small bones. You got a big old cinder block for a hand. That, I don't want to get hit by.
Oh, shit. Let's go, champ.
That's a rock
there.
That's
a brick. You see that on the top?
Yo, that boxer's I got a little tiny one. You look like you broke yours about 8,000 times.
Yeah, look at that one.
How many times do you think you actually broke that bone?
This one 4, this one 3.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'd be cracking.
Does everybody, every I boxer end up with some shit like that?
Yeah, most of them do. Yeah, you know, if you're cracking.
I got a boxer's fracture, but it wasn't a boxer. I just punched a kid in the face and broke my hand.
Why'd you do that, champ?
He actually stole money on my dad's wallet. He was hanging out with my sister. It was way back in the day. He took money out of my dad's wallet.
Nah.
And I had to track him down and find him and beat the shit out of him. I stole his bike too. I got that bike. Put that shit on eBay. That's the only time I ever stole a bike.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's funny. I
feel like this thing's about to fall off. Oh, it's a little shaky. We might have to tighten that after.
Stole a bike, huh?
Yeah, I took the bike.
Took the bike, huh?
So talk to me, what else you have going on in your life right now? You're working on your personal fights, or are you in full training camp
I'm in phenomenal shape, man. I feel great. I've been training nonstop. Me and Scott, Scott, my, you know, like I told you, my manager, Scott Hirsch, he's putting together a nice little fight tour for me. I've been doing a lot of press. I've been, you know, getting in shape. And this is what makes me happy. It keeps me going, keeps me alive. You know what I mean? I've been through a lot, champ. So
having that goal to focus on with the eating right and the working out, you know?
That's what it is. When I don't have that, champ, I sit there and I start thinking. I start hopping on dumb shit. You feel me? So when I got a plan, I think that's for most people. When you got something to do and you got an agenda, you got a plan. You know, when you're bored, you get into dumb shit. You feel me? When you got an agenda, you got a plan, you wake up every day, you know what you're doing. That's what I need. I need structure in my life. You feel me? When I got that structure with my training, and that's a great way to keep me going as far as my my marketing. You know, I meet people. I meet a lot of people. I might jump in a movie. I might jump in a deal. You know, I'm doing cannabis. I'm doing CBD. So it keeps me out there moving and shaking. If I'm fat and depressed, I ain't getting out the crib.
Right.
I ain't going out to move.
I was just looking at your Instagram, and I saw a lot of weed.
Yeah.
You were at some sort of grow operation. Yeah, Where was that? Was that Mike's operation?
That was the original. It was over in LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, shout out to the originals, you know what I'm saying? And shout out to Cali Plug, my boy Mike.
Oh, shout out to Cali Plug.
You know my boy?
Oh, I do, yeah.
That's my dude. That's my partner. That's my business partner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We got a brand. We coming out, Cannon OG.
Oh, wow. That's dope.
Oof, so nasty. Cannon OG.
Cali Plug. Cali Plug is a good guy.
That's my dude. That's my business partner.
Damn, that's dope.
Yeah, that's my dude. King Louie, shout out to OG Louie, too.
Right. That's good to hear. Damn. That's dope. What about the CBD stuff? Do you feel like that? Is the CBD stuff a no-brainer for a professional athlete at this point? Does it really help?
Facts. I mean, from the pain, you know, I use it on my neck. I got a banged up neck, you know what I'm saying? So I put it on my neck. I put it on my hands. You know what I mean? But I'm a smoker as well.
You do? What do you smoke? Blunts?
Nah, not at all.
No,
not at all.
Can't do that.
Not at all. I smoke paper and bongs.
Nice.
I ripped that bong.
That's dope.
Yeah, I ripped that.
All
it saved
day?
My life, though.
Cannabis all day or just at night?
Pretty much all day.
Two different types of weed smokers. It's the ones who can fire up in the morning or the ones who just do it at night.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Yeah, I can rip all day. But the thing is, you know, I'm not, I do it because, you know, professionally, no, I'm going to say professionally, conservatively.
Right.
And at the same time, medically, I was told to take, I don't encourage anyone, kids, especially kids, to smoke cannabis.
That's true.
You know what I mean? At all. Because it's a medicine. It's really a medicine. You feel me? It's not for everybody and it should be done correctly. But yeah, it saved my life. It definitely, when you talk about my depression, it was a key part of me fighting out of it.
Really? Did you ever have a hard break from alcohol at a certain point? Was marijuana part of that?
When I picked up the trees, it just dropped the day,
really?
that day. I haven't had a drink in over 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I don't even have the desire to drink. It makes me sick, the thought. And it used to depress me, champ. It used to have, like, the next day, I'd be going through it. You feel me?
Right. Yeah. I guess I haven't been drunk in about a year and a half, which I'm feeling pretty good about.
Really?
Yeah. I kind of left it in the past.
Wow.
Still
yeah.
smoking heavy, though.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I wonder what my cardio would be like if I cut it with the weed.
You know, I'm asthmatic, and I haven't had an asthma attack in over 8 years since I started smoking.
Really? How's the diet, though, right now? You think that matters?
Got much better. Hell yeah. Everything's diet. Mm. I mean, it's probably, to me, like 75% of it.
Mm.
You know, if not 60.
Yeah. The meal prep has been giant. I mean, fucking losing all this weight and shit.
Yeah. You look good, though, champ.
I appreciate it. Trying to get on your level, man.
Well, you know. Look at him, y'all.
Let's go, champ. Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ.
Shannon Briggs, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Man, thank you for having me, brother.
We're all tuned in. I can't wait to hear about what goes on in this next battle of yours.
Oh, man, yeah, I got four fights lined up. Check out the merch line. It's going crazy. Let's go, champ. ShannonBriggs.com. Please grab some merch and support the movement. I got a lot of things going on, and I'm just happy to be here, and I appreciate you having me on.
For sure, man. I appreciate you so much. Let's Shannon Briggs, legend in the building.
Ooh,
no
look
jumper.
At him, y'all.
Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support.
Pow. Champ.
Champ.